Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this beautiful September 22nd day, 2018, as we take a look at how crazy are we. Anyway, I think you'll find it kind of interesting. Take a look at what we do, how we do it, and the way we do it. I want to remind you that it is crazy to listen to these radio programs and not appreciate them by becoming a sponsor. I hope that these programs are very helpful to you. That's what they're meant to do. Give you maybe another point of view, a suggestion. Not a mandate, not a doctrine, but a suggestion. Maybe open up the door in that mind of yours and look at things from another point of view just for a little while. Anyway, I hope that you will consider being a sponsor and helping us sustain our radio program. We're right now in our year-end fundraising drive, and our mystery donor is being very kind to us this year, more than he has ever been before. He will match your year-end donation. He will also match, if you become a sponsor, your sponsorship. So if you give $25 a month, he will make it $50. And he is being very, very, generous and unconscionable, more so this year than I think any year he's ever been. So will you please help us? This would be a wonderful thing for you to do to help us. This offer from our year-end donation and our mystery donor goes until January, but please don't wait till January. Do something kind. Go to the website at aspire.org. You will see there on the front page, year-end donation. Just click on it. There's a wonderful story there about the five fools. A story that Buddha used to love to tell about a raft and five fools trying to get across the river to hear the Buddha at the mountaintop. I think you'll find it very, very fascinating. Well, it was to me. Maybe not to you, but it is to me. No matter what, this little year-end story is something traditionally I do for people just as a year-end gift to you to remind you of the importance of everything. There's a little story there, a video that I made, and hopefully something that will help you. Please go to the website at aspire.org, and there you will find it. How crazy are we? What does it mean to be crazy? Irrational, intellectually nutty, having adopted maybe beliefs and theories and concepts that are fitting to your emotionality but have no relevance in this world, that kind of thing. That's what most of us are. We're kind of crazy. So every so often, I will get these questions from people. They're really wonderful. And I just sit and marvel at how people think. So different than my own. And it's not that it's they're better or worse or anything like that. It's just different. And I just am amazed at sometimes how out of touch I am with how people think. I mean, I know generally, but when you get down in the nitty gritty, anyway, you'll see. The first question here comes from Jan. Greg, why am I crazy? I mean, I really think I am. I do so many irrational things and think I'm being sane. Are we all crazy, or is it just me, Jan? Well, Jan, we've all done that. I mean, someone could listen to me here on the radio and think, well, that man's crazy, and he is irrational, and he doesn't talk about the things that I think are pertinent to this world. I don't know what you're talking about being irrational and doing irrational things, but we're all, to some degree, out of context with other people. And the worst part about it is, if I'm out of context with the relativity of my thoughts towards maybe culture and society, bingo, people are going to think you're crazy. We have a lot of problems in this world, both in this world and, of course, in our country. We have some severe issues. But we're not going to do anything about them, for goodness sakes. You have to know that. And the reason we're not going to do anything about them is because we are irrational and because we are so rational. It goes both ways. We are irrational when it comes to what really is the issues of our world, of our life today, and what it's all about. And then we are very rational about how we think things should be, right, wrong, good, bad. We have our moral dictates and all of that, which usually have a lot of problems involved in them, little pinhole problems that sink our ship. It's just amazing to me to see that we don't recognize what's really going on. And because we don't recognize what's going on, Jan, we're crazy. Crazy meaning not being relevant to the subject at hand, not being relevant to the situation at hand. So I don't particularly know what you're talking about in your own craziness, but I can tell you what I see with other people. And maybe this will help you. I hope so. It is my endeavor to try. People are not relevant to the bigger picture of life. They don't see the bigger picture and they don't care to see it. And because they live as they do, because they think as they do, they don't understand that everything that cripples their life, that comes into their living, is themselves in a form they cannot recognize. We send out messengers in this lifetime all the time to go out into life and formulate a cause and effect, a cause and effect, a situation, a condition. You should read my commentary, number 20 and 21, on the rules and the methodology of life itself. If you read that, it will help you understand, but you probably won't, because you don't think probably, and this is what makes us crazy, that anything about the meaning of life is relevant to your life. The rules, as it were, laws and things that pertain to this world, you're not privy to, and you don't think you probably have to be, nor does it interest you to be, because you have many other things going on in your life that you think are more important. And hence, you miss. You miss what is really important. So because the mind is looking for answers that really can't be answered via the intellect, via the knowledge that we have in this world, we do, all of us, some crazy things. It took me years and years to understand the laws and the principles of this earth. There are certain limitations to this earth. People that tell you we're unlimited is simply not true. One of the things that we are limited by is our lifetime, how long we're going to live. And we set the course for that. How we live in our day-to-day life, either understanding that livingness, life itself, how we live from within ourselves and our own livingness are one, and they create our life experience, every life experience we have, or not, if you don't understand that, is the most important thing you can understand about anything in this life. And if I've totally confused you in that sentence, I'm terribly sorry. It's my ineptness here, but it is the truth. Jan, we're crazy because we don't have the mental acuity or the deep inner desire, the hunger and thirst mentality that Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes, to truly understand what the meaning of our life is and how substantial our life is. We just don't have it. We don't care to have it, and we don't want to have it. It is not something that means very much to us. We want either one of two things. We want to be ridiculously wealthy and ridiculously emotionally happy, or we seek some kind of a vengeance in life, or we seek to live just to get through. We don't really want to clutter up our life and have any kind of self-examination. And if we have any self-examination, then we get shamed because we know how we have lived within. We can't just clearly look at ourselves and go, oh, Oh, that's what I, oh, that's what I believe in. That's what I think. That's what's going on within me. We just don't do that. We can't do that. We won't do that because we don't want to be wrong. And we don't want anybody pointing the finger at us saying, you have been wrong. That kind of humility is not something that most people are adept to, nor will they tolerate, because they really do believe that they can't be wrong. They can't be that wrong. That's what they believe. And we all think, because we've amalgamated ourselves into this culture and society, and we live there. Yuvari, who wrote Sapiens, was on NPR the other day. I'm going to go into a rant. Here we go. And he was talking about his new book, The 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. Now, I've read him, and I love his work. I do. I love Sapiens. I love Homo Deus. I did. I think they were fabulous books. But this new one he's come out with is just, what a headache. He's talking about robots taking over. He's talking about how they use our information on the internet and how they're going to use it against us and how this is going to go and they're going to be able to control us and all of that. They can only control you and me through desire, ambition, and pride. That's the only way. So, Jan, this interview went on and on in this vein. And finally, the Chakaberry who was doing the interview said, well, this all sounds kind of ominous and negative. And she said, isn't there something good that we can do, something to prevent all this? You know, how far do you go? Really, Jan, how far do we go before we are presented with the truth like Al Gore did in The Inconvenient Truth? And he said, basically, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this is going to happen if you and I don't make some changes. And they all did happen. That was 10, 15 years ago, was it? Something like that. And he was right about everything. But nobody wanted to hear it because it was an inconvenient truth. So, are we crazy because we didn't listen to Al Gore? Anyway, Yuvari was going on and on and on about this. And finally he said, well, yes, there is something we can do. We have to get to know ourselves. What? How many people? I have students. I have about 50 students, okay? None of them want to know themselves. If they were to know themselves, they would cry. They would break down and see that they know not what they do. They adapt and adopt ideas, ideals, philosophies, all sorts of things to try to buffer the fact that they don't know themselves. And they don't want to know themselves. They only want to know, well, how do I correct this and how do I correct that? You've got to take the whole shamata, the whole deal, throw it away and start living consciously. And I give them means and methods and ways of doing it. How do you know yourself? Socrates was killed for that. Killed. Go listen to my series, A Life Worth Living. It's about Socrates. He was talking about the unexamined life is not worth living. And he is right. The unexamined life is not worth living. But most people don't live to understand themselves. They're not going to live an examined life. They're not going to understand what they've done. Too much shame and guilt and pride, all this stuff that is much more important to people than the way, the truth, and the light. Jan, we're all crazy. I'm crazy. Everybody's been crazy. I've had my crazy days. I've had my crazy years, just probably like you. But I sobered up, as it were. I don't drink, but I woke up. And when I woke up, I could see the whole shamata of me, the whole stuff. Jan, you'd have to get involved with yourself. Are you crazy? Probably. But living in this society, who isn't? And I'm not making excuses, but who isn't? Jan, to thy own self be true, and to yourself know thyself. even if it kills you, if you know what I mean metaphorically. I'm winking at you. Get it? Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question comes from Jason. He does not tell me where he lives. I don't know what it is. Maybe something in the water. I thought that was very clever. Everyone seems nuts. Is it me, Greg, or are we nuts, Jason? Yes, Jason, we are nuts. We are sucking off of the tit of the collective unconscious. We all get together. We create our nutsy attitude and our beliefs and our theories. And we don't want to understand the nature of the who and what we really are thing. We just don't care about it, which I talk about in my series, you know, A Life Worth Living. So we just go on and on and on and on and on this way. And as we start to emotionally and psychologically and unconsciously draw energy from this collective unconscious, we find that it is fulfilled in the authority figures and the authority that is going on in this world of our own government. You should read my commentary on authority. It is very precise, it's very concise, and it will help you immensely if you can read that with any sense of interest or consciousness, even on your part. You have to read it. Folks, you got to understand, you've got to work on yourselves. You can't just say, oh, well, I don't need to read that, or I don't need to do. If you're starting to question your sanity, which you and I should, both of us, you need to take a deep look at what the heck is going on. You need to take a stand. You've already really made me kind of crazy. I got crazy because he just left it there. He knows good and well he's a very bright, intelligent man. He knows that people aren't going to want to know themselves. Most people don't even have the capacity anymore to know themselves. So Jason, yes, everyone seems nuts because everyone is nuts. Nobody is doing what needs to be done. Nobody is awakening. Nobody is trying to awaken. Spiritual awakening doesn't mean diddly squat to anybody. Not anybody. We're nuts, all of us. Is it you? Yes. Is it me? Yes. Is it all of us? Yes. Until we step aside. In the story that I offer for the year end, it's about the five fools. And they have a raft. And they want to go see the Buddha. He's at the top of a mountain. The five fools represent our five senses. The raft represents our knowledge. You can only go so far with knowledge. Knowledge can be very helpful in and of the world. But there comes a time when you drop the raft. You put the raft by the river because that's where it belongs. And you take a different kind of journey up the mountain. Crossing the stream or the river is a far different journey than hiking up a mountain. And to carry this raft up a mountain is ridiculous. But that's what we do. We never know what to do with our knowledge. And we base our whole life on, predicate our life on the knowledge we can think and memorize and study. But that's not enough. This is a spiritual awakening we are talking about. We are here to awaken spiritually. If I don't awaken spiritually, which is not religious, it's not philosophical, it is an inwardness. Ivari had the chance to step up and say this, but he didn't because he wanted to sell books. How you sell books is you give people false hope. There is no hope. We're beyond that. And I don't think many of us are going to like the world we're going into. It isn't going to be pleasant and it isn't going to be fun. I guarantee it. So, yes, Jason, you know, until you meditate and really work on yourself and to your authentic self, the one that is the heart of love, you and I are going to find this a very, very difficult journey. But who cares? That's the problem. Who cares? Please forgive me. Namaste. Jason, go read my commentary on authority. It's very important. If you don't read it, my answer will seem lame. Well, maybe anyway, but you'll see. Last question comes from Sherry. What happens to all of my friends? What is happening to all my friends? They seem so crazy. Well, and she does not tell me where she lives, so I don't know. Sherry, monkey see, monkey do. That's the way most of us live in this country. We see one person doing something or adopting some philosophy, then we adopt that philosophy. Monkey see, monkey do. We don't have a sense of our own individuality in looking at the events, circumstances, and conditions of our life and saying to ourselves, well, you know, I need to find the way within me. You need to find your own course in living, the way of your life, the substance of your life, the meaning of your life. You need to find the way of your life, the way of your livingness. This is a very difficult thing for most human beings to do. In fact, most of them cannot do it because they are enamored with their body and their mind, their beliefs, their circumstances, and their conditions. They're enamored with it. What is happening to all your friends is the same thing that's happening to you. We are in a process of the breakdown. The government and people in general, people who know how human beings work and the methodology of them, absolutely understand what's going on within. How a human being's mind works. It isn't a great mystery. Believe me, you don't have to be a great psychologist or a Freud to understand it. It's really very simple. We live for our genetics and our survival. And our survival is the most important impulse we have in the human body. So as long as that survival impulse is moving on in the body, the genetics adopt that impulse and then go and create an environment, an interpretation of how to survive, and ta-da, that's the end of our life. That is as far as our life will ever go. And that's a very painful analogy, but a very, very powerful truth. This just keeps going on and on and on within us. And we miss. And we miss our entire life because all we're trying to do is survive. What is happening to all of your friends, Sherry? They've gone nuts. They never were anything other than that. Most of us, because we lack consciousness, are just a product of our society. We are not the endeavor of spiritual awakening, nor do we even think it's necessary. So we go on and on and on in our life. People will say to me, well, I have my own spirituality. Really? And what is that? How do you explain this in your life and that in your life? You need a teacher. You can't do it alone. I know your arrogance likes to have you believe that you can, but you can't. You'll just sink back down into your own basic genetic nature. And it'll be just genetic interpretation after genetic interpretation, missing everything that is substantial and important for the sake of just upholding our genetics. And that's basically what we are and what we do. If you really want the truth, if you really need the truth, then you will find a teacher and you will get involved and you will stop the cycle of birth and death and birth and death over and over and over again, living your life in accordance with that. It gets boring after a while. And if you haven't had enough of this life and you're just content to go on the way you are and roll the dice, well, that's what most people do. They roll the dice. I'm out of here. Thank you, Sherry, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. And thank you for listening. I hope this helped. Make a donation for our year-end drive, please. We need your support to keep this radio program and all the other gifts on Aspire website there for you. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.